For the word of God is round about us, we give thanks to God. Dearly beloved, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You're getting good at that. Let's try it again. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen. Now, 18 years ago, I was thrilled when Easter landed on April 15th. Because on that day, I was able to say, you know, we used to think that death and taxes were inevitable. But now we know that only taxes are inevitable because he is risen. You're going to have to be a little faster. Now we know only taxes are inevitable because he has risen. Last year was even better because Easter came on April Fool's Day, right? And we were able to say, you know, if you thought the grave could contain the living God, then April Fools, Christ is risen. Today is Earth Day, and I don't have a joke. But I do think that Earth Day is a wonderful date for Easter, because if, like an angel rolling back a stone to expose an empty tomb, you take away all the bunnies and the baskets filled with chocolate eggs, if you roll back all of the liturgy and the churchy language, if you roll back all of the theology and the doctrine, all of the deeply held beliefs one way or another about what happened that Passover weekend so many years ago when a radical itinerant rabbi from Nazareth was executed by the power of empire only to be found alive again, if you roll back all of those stones, what you find in the celebration of Easter is essentially an earth-based spirituality. Christ is risen. When we say Christ is risen, we are saying ultimately that the promise of Easter is like the promise of springtime. When winter has done its level best to keep the world dark and cold, the earth unyielding and unproductive, the landscape colorless and lifeless, suddenly things start to change. The days get longer and the sun gets warmer. The air loses its bitter edge. And then in a moment, there are flowers everywhere and there are blossoms. And the birds are singing, and the livestock is getting frisky, and the farmers go out into their fields with hope, knowing that the seeds they plant, God willing, will yield a harvest that will ward off starvation for another year. When we say Christ is risen, we are saying that in Christ, God has returned to us like the spring after winter, like the morning after the dark of night, like the birth of a child after the death of an elder. Easter is a promise that life goes on, that darkness cannot contain the light, that hope is stronger than despair, that courage is stronger than fear, that compassion is stronger than disregard, that love is stronger than hate, because Christ is risen. Now, I want to be perfectly honest with you, and I want to acknowledge that it isn't all that easy for me to stand in a pulpit and say that the language of Easter is the language of an earth-based spirituality. Once the various stones are rolled away, that Easter is an earth-based spirituality. It's hard for me to say this, because to do so is to admit that the language of the most holy of Christian days is essentially a pagan language. Like many people, maybe even several of you in this room, I spent some important and, in many ways, really good years of spiritual formation within a tradition that insisted the Christian celebration of Easter was a celebration of something unique. Jesus, alive in ways that would have been medically verifiable had a doctor been present with a stethoscope, had risen from the dead. And while it's true that Sumerian and Persian and Babylonian and Greek and Roman and Egyptian mythologies all contain stories of a dead god coming back to life, those stories, we believe, were myth. Whereas our religion was a religion of historical truth. And so when I say that the language of Easter, underneath everything, is the language of an earth-based spirituality, I have to admit to you, dearly beloved, that there is a little voice from a former version of myself speaking quietly but firmly on the edge of my subconscious, saying to me, "You little heretic. Why do you think God shut off the power this morning?" But here's the thing. The earliest recorded Christian writing about the resurrection of Jesus is the passage from 1 Corinthians that Helen read to us just now. And in that passage, Paul is writing to a congregation of mostly Greek Christians, many of them pagan converts. And in his letter to those pagan converts, Paul uses an earth-based metaphor to talk about the resurrection. "Of course Christ was raised from the dead," says Paul. "And if you're concerned about it, if you want to know how it is possible that Christ is raised from the dead, remember this. Resurrection takes place all of the time. Resurrection is like a seed which is planted and dies, but then is reborn and is transformed. This kind of religious thinking is decidedly ancient. It predates Christianity by a long shot. In fact, my guess is that Paul used an earth-based spiritual metaphor to talk about the resurrection because that is the kind of metaphor his readers in Corinth were used to employ when they talked about God. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Now today is the 26th Easter of my pastoral ministry. And because I spent 4 years at a church where we had a sunrise service on Easter, and everybody who went to the sunrise service also went to the regular service, I felt like I had to preach two different Easter sermons on those Sundays. So this is the 30th Easter sermon that I've written and delivered. And somewhere along the way, I figured out that it is not my job as a preacher to stand in the pulpit and to try to prove the historicity of Jesus' resurrection. I wasn't there. I cannot say one way or another what really actually happened to Jesus in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, halfway around the world. It is, however, my job as a pastor to try to impart a little hope, some comfort, and at least a tincture of joy. It is further my job to say whatever I can to move us as individuals and as a community towards greater kindness, deeper compassion, a stronger sense of justice, and to inspire us to live peacefully in the world. And on this Easter, which is also Earth Day, let me say once more, in service of what is truly my pastoral responsibility, Christ is risen. And when I think about how an earth-based spirituality of resurrection might impart hope for us today, I find myself thinking of photos that I have seen over the last week, photos of the fire-damaged Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Many of those photos were taken across the river from the cathedral, and there happened to be a lot of trees, I think they're linden trees, planted along the banks of the Seine. And as a result, the leafy branches of these trees tend to show up in a lot of the photographs of the burnt out cathedral. And what I know of Paris is this. Just weeks ago, It was winter in Paris, and there were no leaves on those trees. But now it is springtime, and for me anyway, those new leaves juxtaposed against the burnt-out church, these are a promise of resurrection. What dies comes back to life. What burns can be rebuilt, can be raised up from the ashes, and not only will Notre Dame be rebuilt, but the burning of the cathedral has inspired people from all over the world to start caring about burnt down churches. And as a result, people from all over the world have given money not just to rebuild the cathedral, but also to rebuild three historically African American churches in Louisiana, which were burnt by a racist, arsonist, terrorist. This rebuilding is what resurrection looks like. Christ is risen. And on this Easter, let me invite you to look for the signs of resurrection that are all around you. Go out into a garden and look at the springtime flowers, seeds, which at one time went down into the earth and died, but came back to life more beautiful than before. Go into your kitchen and cook a meal, knowing that everything you eat came from the earth. Everything you eat, one way or another, whether it was harvested or slaughtered, had to die so that your life and the lives of your loved ones could be sustained. Go up into the hills. Sit under a redwood tree beside a stream and listen to the birds singing and the water running and know that the spirit of the living God is powerful in creation and life goes on, and then pledge yourself to that life. Then go down into the city. Look under the overpasses, visit the parks, see the homeless encampments, and ask yourself, what can be done? What can be done? What can I do? What can my community do to make resurrection feel a little more real in our city? Pick up the morning paper and read about all the ways human beings are doing our best to corrupt democracy for power, to exploit the poor and the marginalized for wealth, to drain the earth of its resources for profit despite the ill effects that will be visited upon generations yet unborn. And ask yourself, what can we do? What can I do? What can you do? What can we do to plant a seed of hope that will grow into a flower of transformation? And while you're at it, look inside yourself. Where there is sadness, seek a resurrection unto joy. Where there is anger, seek a resurrection of forgiveness. Where there is indifference, seek a resurrection of compassion. Where there is doubt, seek a resurrection of belief. Where there is a lack of commitment, seek a resurrection of faithfulness. Where there is hatred, or prejudice, or malice, seek a resurrection of love. And hear me now when I tell you, such a resurrection is close at hand, for he is risen.
He is indeed.
And the same God who brought new life to Christ, the same God who brings a seed up from the earth, this is the same living God who is alive in you. And because God is alive in you, you, dearly beloved, are agents of resurrection. Christ is risen. You have the power and you have the authority to go down into the city or out into the world where people are hurting. And you can be the angel who rolls the stone away to reveal a living and loving God. You can speak a word of compassion You can articulate an expression of solidarity. You can speak truth to power because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And dearly beloved, you are like fertile soil. If a seed of resurrection is planted in you, that seed will grow and it will blossom and you will be transformed. Because Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.